League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Do we give, before we get to the Astros, do we give UConn enough credit? Six titles since 1999. I mean, I know Kansas and Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, all blue bloods. They don't. None of them have that resume.
Dude, basketball, college and pro basketball. It's. I mean, women's and men's basketball. I should say it's pretty amazing what they've done. Six on the men's side over the last 25 years. Gino Auriemma has surpassed. You know, really anyone on the women's side in terms of his ability to sustain a long-term successful program. It's a basketball at UConn is amazing, and it wasn't always like that. I remember when they were just coming up. Lars Tate, what was his name? Somebody Tate. He had a big shot in a tournament game like in the early 90s. And this is
Tate George.
It's Tate George, yeah. And it was just starting to come up then. It was just that was when they were just starting their ascension. Then you had Ray Allen's team against Allen Iverson and the great Big East duels and. Jake Voskuhl, the Saint.
Jake Voskuhl's the guy you're pulling out of
Jake, the great Jake Voskuhl from Strake Jesuit.
Not
here
even
in Houston.
Danielle Marshall, you want to go
Marshall
with Jake
was fine,
Voskuhl?
But it was Voskuhl kind of leading the way as
no,
a big man
for
Strake
Jesuit. No, he
wasn't
leading the way.
Yeah,
he was not.
Like Klingon before Klingon was Klingon.
No, he wasn't.
He really wasn't.
I enjoyed the game yesterday. Zach Edey. Okay, so before we get to the Astros, do you guys think Zach Edey, the Purdue big man who, if you missed it, Zach Edey's about 7'4". He actually plays like Yao Ming and I don't want to say he looks like Yao Ming, but he plays, his game is reminiscent of Yao Ming. Cannot step out like Yao Ming is. Not as great a touch from the free throw line or you know. I mean, he's basically a jump hook guy. He's 7'4", and he's strong in his lower body. So he gets deep posts. And plus, there's no real legitimate post defenders who are strong anymore. No one's built for that, really. So he gets deep post-ups. He's smart. He'll kick it back out, repost. They do a great job of getting the ball into him. Trust me. They're getting the ball into him when they're down 13. Like, they couldn't make it. They made one three-point shot. It was brilliant, brilliant, brilliant by Danny Hurley, who said, let him get as many shots as he wants. No one's shooting a three. And the Daryl Morey three and freeze moment really rang true because they couldn't win just making twos. Zach Edey had 37, but a lot of them came late. But he's got a really good jump hook, right hand and left hand, deep in the paint. He's got a little bit of a reverse pivot counter. And it's successful. And he's been player of the year for 2 years in a row. And he scored a bunch of points and had a bunch of rebounds and some blocks in this. But the argument is, well, people, I'm finding out, people who are very young, who don't know what post-up basketball used to look like, they just can't envision it. Like, they can't envision Zach Edey playing in the NBA because all they say is he won't be able to step out and guard people. But it goes to, like, I've watched James Harden. He can't guard anyone either out there. Jalen Green's not the best defender. There's lots of people who don't guard and their players score a bunch of points. So, and I don't think all the bigs that you have to, like, you can also make defensive changes on how you're going to handle pick and roll. That's only one half of the court. Zach Edey's going to be hard to cover, hard to guard, because, John, you mentioned this with, you're always real worried about big guys backing down like a Shingun in the post and things like that. And I just, there's just not a lot of guys who back you down, but there's also not a lot of guys who defend the low post with size. And people always say, how's he going to handle Embiid? Who handles Embiid? Who handles Jokic? Nobody handles those guys. I think Zach Edey can play in the NBA. And I think, but you have to have a plan for him. Like, you've got to, you're going to have to feature him. So can Zach Edey be a successful NBA player who can get you maybe 16 and 10 a game?
What do you mean? How successful are you
talking? 16 and 10 a game.
Featuring him.
I don't know.
I don't know if anyone is going
to semi-feature him.
Feature him to the point, because how efficient will he be when he gets his opportunities? Because you just talked about what Dan Hurley talked about. Hey, let him score as many points as he wants. We're just not giving up threes. That's the way we're going to lose this game. Can he be efficient enough in the block where he scores, he punishes, and it kind of makes the defense morph and where you get open shots? So that'll be the question for Zach Edey. If you're going to concentrate on getting him the ball in the post, is he going to be a guy who can score early and often? Because 16 and 10 in the NBA, rim runners do that, and you don't even have to devote plays for them. You get Daniel Gafford can do that for the Mavs, and they don't have to run a play for him.
Well, I don't know why it would be just 16 and 10.
Well, 16 and 10 isn't enough to throw the ball down to him over and over again. If that's all he's going
to
bring,
if you're throwing the ball down to him over and over again, he's going to score.
Well, we'll see.
Dude is going to score.
We'll see. We'll see if he'll score, but 16 and 10 ain't enough. He would have to be in that 20 and 10 range to validate people giving him the ball that often.
Speaking of which, I'm looking at a story about Wemby. I mean, here's what Nicholas Batum says. He's a special man. He's special. It was a good call from Pop when he said this may be his worst season. Do you know how many blocks he has?
He's got a lot.
245, and he has 3.6 per game. His blocks through 69 games are one fewer than Rudy Gobert over his last 142 games.
And there's not as many shots. Like, he's getting those blocks. When the great block shockers of the past have played, they played in a game where there was a lot more action in the paint. Wimby doesn't play in a time of basketball where there's a ton of action in the paint. And if you do go in there, he's got a high percentage of going and affecting that shot. I mean, did you ever really have any doubt about Wemby? It was just a matter of time. He's too special. He's just, people aren't built like him at all. He truly is generational. The phrase is overused is Jordan, LeBron, and now Wemby. Those are the three generational basketball players that come to mind for me. I mean, truly, no one is really in their categories. And I just think Wemby, to be that athletic, that tall, have that range. Next up is developing a post game, which I don't know if he'll ever do it, but if he were smart, he would, because it allows him to take advantage of certain matchups. So, man, what a special player. He can pass, but, man, those block shots, like, that's huge. Who's even close to him?
Nobody.
You watch guys attack bigs all the time, and him, even in a one-on-one situations and open floor situations, guys veer away. Like, they can sense him stalking them down, and they'll just turn away from the basket. I watched a game, or at least a highlight clip of a game, and it happened on the same possession twice, where you had a guy out in front, but they sensed Wimby coming, and they veered away from the rim. They passed it, and the next guy did the same thing. That's the intimidation factor. And they're playing the Sixers on Sunday night, and he was having a great game. That game went into double OT. And you just speaks to the Spurs and where they're at in their build, because they don't have a real point guard. From the time he checked back in late in that game, in a tight game, and he got like two shots through two overtime periods, because the Spurs aren't, once he gets better teammates who understand where to get him the basketball,
they're bad players.
It is over. It is over once the Spurs find teammates that understand, like, oh, you got a 7-4 guy, get him the ball in advantageous spots, and it'll change for them. But until that happens, he's going to be a guy who's great, but his team ain't going to be very good.
Yep. All right, let's break it, and we'll talk to that. We'll get that Astro stuff on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I got to talk about Houston Safe and Lock. The lock part we don't talk nearly enough about. What is it that you need? What do you need? If you need to change the locks at your house, hope, you know, something has happened. Hopefully it's not so bad. But if you need to get that done and you need to change those locks, you want better locks, whatever the case may be, you've got that at Houston Safe and Lock. If you've got a business, you need key cards or fobs or PIN codes or smart device credentials, you've got that as well. They have got the solutions for you, whatever it is, however big your business is. No job is too big or too small for Houston Safe and Lock as far as their locksmith services go. You need a locksmith, you got them right here with Houston Safe and Lock. They also got the Medico, which is like the most trusted brand in locks. So if you need something that's really secure, you got it. You got it at Houston Safe and Lock. If you need any lock help whatsoever, you got it. Houston Safe and Lock is at Westheimer and the Beltway. King Safe and Lock is located at I-10 and Wirt. So they're the same company, though. So you're going to get, they got trained technicians and a full showroom of quality safes and locks on display. 975safe.com. Tell Derek you heard it right here, 975safe.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good news for Houston Cougar fans. Juwan Roberts has announced he is making use of his COVID year, where he gets an additional year of college basketball, and he is coming back to Houston. This on the heels of, we will find out for sure about Jamal Shedd and LJ Cryer. Most think they're going to turn pro. The Cougars lost Damian Dunn to the transfer portal. So you've got Wilson and Roberts are the two they're trying to hang on to from the starting five. But Juwan Roberts coming back, John. That's good news for Kelvin Sampson and the
Juwan.
I mean, Juwan. Yeah. Yeah, why did I say Juwan? I'm just looking at somebody misspelled it here. It threw me off. It's Juwan Roberts.
Yeah, right. That is good news for them. He'll find a point guard. He won't be Jamal Shedd, but he'll find a point guard.
I wish Shedd were staying. I'm not sure it's a good idea for Shedd to go.
Just like you said, I mean, Tristan Newton comes out of East Carolina.
Oh, yeah. First team All-American.
Yeah. So, and if you're with Kelvin Sampson, you're going to be the right kid. You're going to be the right leader on the floor. You're going to play defense. You're going to be, and he's going to make you into a national player.
All that's true.
Player.
I'm just going to ask, are you going to shoot well from three?
That'd be something.
Yeah. I mean, I know the backbone of that program is defense, rebounding, and playing hard, but could you make a concession for a shooter who may not be so great defensively?
Just one.
I don't say change your entire program.
I just want to hear Kelvin Sampson say, you know, I just want to hear him say, he's a great shooter. He's going to have to keep getting better on defense.
Yeah.
I just want him to make that.
The term,
you know, the caveat.
Has Kelvin Sampson ever said about one of his guys? It's like Quinn Grimes. He's a knockdown shooter. When's the last time he said that about one of his players?
That was the last time he had anybody like that.
This is what I'm. Well, then that guy's an NBA player. So let's a little concession, maybe. I don't think you want a traffic cone out there. I understand, but maybe a guy who will make a corner three when he's open, or coming off a curl, make a jumper. That's all. One of those guys.
Well, he's got that in LJ Cryer.
LJ needs a lot of shots to score. At least as a Cougar, he did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. LJ was pretty good.
He's
pretty
not a knock. If you go look at LJ shooting, and we saw enough of that when Jamal Shedd wasn't around. It took a lot. I mean, it wasn't all his fault, because now he had point guard responsibilities. He had to handle the ball a lot. But just give me a guy. Give me a guy you can count on. Knock down a shot. That's all.
Well, let's see his stats from this year. LJ shot 3-point percentage, 38-8.
What did he shoot overall?
He shot 41-1.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, not overall. It's not great. But 38-8 from three? That's pretty good.
We got to be better inside the arc.
His second year at Baylor, he shot 46.8. which was really good, really good. And, yeah, his field goal percentage has gone down.
So is his three-point percentage the last three seasons.
He's gone down. Yeah. Yep. Well, but LJ's coming back too, right? If I remember correctly. I think LJ might be coming back. That would be nice. Nice to have LJ and somebody else who can knock down a shot. That'd be good.
Yeah, we'll see how Kelvin does in the portal. But nowadays, you got to play portal ball, and recruits are getting hurt a little bit by that. There's just not as many scholarships available for now. The Houston Astros gave a scholarship to Helmsley.
That's not scholarship. It wasn't a scholarship.
Somebody came up from a Division III minor league program with the hooks. Space Cowboys.
I think it was more pro for a day. I think it was.
That's what it was.
It wasn't a scholarship.
It was pro for a day. It was a pro for a day program. And raked a third of an inning. Mm-hmm. You were at the game, John. He went a third of an inning. Were you thinking that, A, you're a jinx, or B, boy, did I pick a bad game to go to? What were you thinking when Fromber got scratched? By the way, some discomfort in his elbow, so that's not great. He was scratched yesterday midday, and the Astros brought up the minor leaguer to get a third of an out and give up five runs. But that was it. Seth Martinez and Scott and the boys locked it down, and the Astros' bats got to work. I mean, they had two in the first, and then they just absolutely pummeled the Rangers after that. Yordan had a really good game. Breggy had a good game. And the Astros went on to win 10-5. Did you just think, oh, my gosh, in that first inning? Like, what were you thinking as you were at the game?
Well, I thought, you know, we jumped out to the 2-0 lead, and sweet, sweet, sweet. And then you bring up – and by the way, somebody had said – hey, I think it was Dream Shape. You guys were down on Seth. I've never been down on Seth.
No, you've loved him.
I've been a big Seth Martinez fan. And and as a matter of fact, before the game, when they announced that Blair Henley, that's his name, put some respect on it, Lance. Blair Henley was going to be the starter. I'm like, why?
Helmsley.
Why? Why not just do a bullpen? And which is
it's
what
not
you ended
Sherman
up
Sherman Helmsley.
Sherman Helmsley pitched yesterday. How do I know that name? Is that Mr. Jefferson?
He's 227. I think he was in that show, too.
We know him from Mr. Jefferson.
I know him from 227.
But he wasn't 227. Yes, it's Blair Henley. I'm just joking. But the performance would have been about the same if Sherman Helmsley had been out there. If Mr. Jefferson was out throwing.
He got one more out than Sherman Helmsley.
Mr. Jefferson would not have gotten – George Jefferson would not have gotten an out.
No. But he would have been cool walking
But he also might have thrown more strikes.
Yeah, he would have been cool walking to the mound, that's for sure.
Yes, he would have.
His hands going behind him.
He would have had that George Jefferson strut.
Yep. That was just a mistake. I don't know what they were thinking about bringing a kid up that, and especially in a game, you know what? You kind of start, not that there's got any urgency in a 162-game season, but this is the Rangers, okay? And we want to beat their ass. It matters. So throwing a kid out there that had no business being on the field. I mean, he did start last week for – here's the reason that he was up, because he was supposed to pitch Monday for Sugarland. That was it. That's the reason. He was supposed to pitch for Sugarland yesterday. So they said, well, it's your turn. The time for you to come up, Blair Henley. And it was like, wow, that's not the best reason to bring up a guy to come – and pitch at the major league level. And, yeah, my thought was, holy crap, what a waste this is of the runs that they scored already. But then they just poured it on. And Heaney had no chance against Astro. Listen, Yordan is back to looking like Yordan again. Holy crap, does he crush them. He crushed that one so hard. I mean, they had a stat, I forget who had it, that Yordan has hit more 110 mile an hour, 300 something, whatever, 400 foot home runs. He and I don't know who else is, but when he is on it, he was scuffling a little bit at home. Why are they scuffling at home? Why is this something? Why is this a thing? Why can't they
hit obviously
this
have to
way?
They have to get out of it, or they're in serious trouble. It's a fun win. The bats got going and all that. But now we are stuck with Justin Verlander, who you have to see what kind of Justin Verlander will have. Obviously, shelled the other day in his minor league performance, but it's, you know, what difference does that make? May make a difference, may not make a difference. We'll see. He's probably not ready yet. You have McCullers and Garcia, we will wait for, both coming off arm injuries. You've got, obviously, the arm injury now with Urquidy. And this is with no act, John, this is with no activity. This wasn't game action that sidelined Urquidy. Or in other words, he was out before the year even started. So now Fromber has an arm thing. Now you have, this isn't pitch clock didn't get Fromber, pitch clock didn't get Urquidy. Justin Verlander, right now you have had arm issues. Count it out. With, well, you go into the season with Garcia and McCullers, who you already knew about because of arms. Urquidy now has an arm. Fromber has an arm. Verlander has an arm. Five of your pitchers have arm issues.
Your five best.
The five best. Your five-man rotation has, well, other than Christian Javier, five of your six. Who it would, you know, potentially would have been. This is a major, major deal. And Major League Baseball, a lot of people are talking about this now, and they want to find out what it is. Did you get to see what I retweeted yesterday, Tyler Glasnow said?
I watched some of it. I couldn't see the whole thing.
I thought it was pretty interesting.
The gripping of the baseball?
So he mentioned that he used to use rosin and sunscreen to get a good grip. He said, I've got plenty of spin. It's not a spin rate thing. He said, I can do that. It's grip on the baseball because baseball's really slippery. He said, the other day, I decided to try to pitch. You know, I pitched bare, and I did it without, you know, I did it without the help of anything, no kind of grip or anything like that. And he said, I actually had a really good game, but when I woke up, my arm was really sore the next day. And the idea is you have to throw with a little different type of motion. And there's a lot of different things going on. It's already been proven by sports orthopedics for different major league teams. Youth baseball is the number one culprit to UCL injuries. The amount of UCL surgeries in high schools now are at an alarming rate. The amount of travel baseball in year-round baseball is doing tremendous damage to young pitchers' arms, especially curveball throwers. There's no way around it. That is 100% an issue where some guys and some kids who are not injured through high school, there is a wear and tear on the arm. Now, the other issue, there is no denying that. That is happening. People are not supposed to pick up a baseball. You got your 3 or 4 months of baseball, and you're supposed to shut it down as a young pitcher and let your arm, you know, come back and heal. However, with that said, Justin Verlander and others in Major League Baseball think the fact that velocity and spin rate, the ability, the desire to throw as hard as you can, since you go 6 innings now, you go less innings, to throw as hard as you can and to throw with as much spin rate as you can. And now that it's measured, you know how to get to that spin rate. You change grips up because it's a studied art to create the spin rate. He believes those are things that are playing into it. I never thought about velocity being that issue if you're throwing just a fastball. But everyone is throwing harder, John. I mean, it used to be 96 mile an hour was a big fastball. Now, it's a good fastball, but you ain't 98. You're not working at 98.
Yeah, Verlander went over it, over all of that. How much more spin you're trying to get and how much harder you're throwing.
On every pitch.
On every pitch.
And that and that Glasnow stuff you're mentioning, it's from nearly 3 years ago.
Oh, is it that old?
Yeah, it's resurfacing because of the rash of injuries, but he talked about going cold turkey from the stuff he normally used, the rosin mix he used to throw a baseball. But he talked about it, this is like July 15th, 2021, and you know, you told the story. He woke up sore after he went with
nothing.
And he's out.
Right? Well, Bieber's out. Yeah, you've had a huge
Glasnow
number.
Out too?
But what's causing it this year? Like, you had pitch clock last year too.
Yeah.
So why? I don't think the pitch clock has anything to do with anything. I'm not sure. I do know the issues with wear and tear at a young age will come up with Tommy John stuff. I don't know if there's anything to throwing with as hard a velocity. I could see spin rate being an issue because look at Lance McCullers has been. He's got some of the nastiest breaking pitches you've seen, and he's already had two. He had two Tommy Johns, right? Or no? Did he not get one last year?
Who?
McCullers.
He
didn't end up getting one, right? He did have one. I mean, I don't know. I know he's already had
hurt.
One.
Who knows? He's always hurt. Who knows? All right. 713-780-3776, the number if you want to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about Doc Linville. I'm talking about hair. I'm talking about how just how good it is to have hair as opposed to not, okay? It's just so much better. You are looking in the mirror every day as you wake up and you're like, oh, look at this hairline receding. Or you got the giant bald spot that all your buddies are giving you the business about. You don't have to anymore. You just don't. Doc Linville is here for you. It's so easy. The neo-grafting. It's the best process. I love it. I did the other one where they cut and they pasted, and it was so painful, so bloody, so awful. It was like, I can't promote your business. I'm sorry. I just couldn't do it after I did that. Doc Linville, I loved it. Love this. Love the PRP. Kelly is awesome. You go that, you can do it every 5 or 6 weeks. Stimulate the growth in your hair, and it really, really shows. So, you're looking for hair? Here's one easy way to do it. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Anything Texans-wise, Lance, have you heard? Is there anything...
Nope.
Anything going on?
Quiet as a mouse. Nothing involving Texans, but that's not unusual. When you don't have a first-round pick, it's like you don't exist in the draft. When the reality is, you know, the Rams got back on track last year with Puka Nacua in the fifth and Kobe, their defensive tackle, their three technique. It'll come to me in a second once Dell Googles it. But they're really good defensive tackle who they drafted from Wake Forest.
You talking about Byron Young?
No. Byron Young
Kobe
was okay.
Kobe Turner.
Well,
Byron Young was part of their
draft. Yeah, Byron Young was good,
well,
too. And none of these guys were first-round picks. Byron Young, Kobe Turner, both, I think, went in a third. And Puka Nacua in a fifth. I mean, we're talking about a guy who could have been defensive rookie of the year, a guy who could have been offensive rookie of the year. If the Texans weren't owning both of those categories. Rams didn't have a first-round pick, and they had a massive draft. So I'm interested to see what happens, but no, I don't think I'll hear anything about the Texans NFL draft-wise headed up to the draft because people just don't talk about first-round picks. I am going through where players could be drafted, and the consensus I'm getting now is that T'Vondre Sweat doesn't go in until the fourth round. And I think I mentioned that yesterday. Byron Murphy from Texas Longhorns will not last beyond the first half of the draft. Brock Bowers is going to be a Jet. You have
with what pick?
10th pick. So this is what I saw. Let me bring it up for you. Let me see what you think about some of these. These are pretty interesting. They're pretty dead on. I think some of my information is now being used against gamblers. You had draft matchups. Let me pull up the draft matchups. They finally came out, and I was looking at some of these, and one of them is who will be the first wide receiver drafted? And the favorite is Marvin Harrison, followed by Malik Nabers is plus 300, which I thought was a pretty good value. But they also had how many Big 12 players will be selected in the first round. And the over-under is 4.5, but they skew heavier on the over 4.5. And I started thinking, okay, Byron Murphy from Texas, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma will. And then you have, or maybe it was 3.5. No, is there another one? Maybe it's 3.5, but I think it's 4.5. Maybe you'll get Xavier Worthy. I think he'll end up there. Not sure on A.D. Mitchell. Yeah, so maybe it was
Well, that would be a run on wide receivers if they're both in the first round.
Yeah, I think the over-under on wide receivers was 6.5. But like I said, it's a big payout line. I mean, they make you pay heavy for whatever the favorite is. So I thought the odds were pretty interesting. How many draft picks per conference? I mean, per college football conference in the first round. How many offensive linemen go? How many receivers go? They had how many quarterbacks? Over 4.5 is the favorite right now. Is more and more consideration for Michael Penix going in the first round?
Don't give us what they are. Give us some winners.
Well, I'm trying. I mean, I think lower. I saw offensive alignment like 9.5. I think that's got a chance to be under that because a lot of people don't like the Oregon center. They don't like the personality, so he may not go in the first. Zach Frazier, a center from West Virginia, is not going in the first. Graham Barton, a center guard from Duke, is going to go in the first. And then you have 7 offensive tackles. So I think the question is, you know, Jordan Morgan, a tackle from Arizona, I'm not sure. I think there's going to be 8 offensive linemen. And right now, the over-under is like 9.5. So I thought that was a little high. There are some who are on the border, so I'm not sure about. Like if Jordan Morgan from Arizona goes as a tackle and Jackson Powers Johnson, a center from Oregon, goes, and that goes over the total. But I'm not sure they're going, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't need you hemming and hawing. I need you to come up with, hey, this is for sure going to happen, and put the money down.
Well, I mean, you know.
Pay that man his money.
Pathetic! You are pathetic!
I'm not pathetic. No. I don't really have an opinion on all this stuff.
I wish you the
best of luck. But why don't you go somewhere where that's legal, John, instead of the state of Texas where it's not?
You owe us all an apology.
I don't know.
And I want it.
I don't owe anybody an apology. And I'm John, right now, you have to read between the lines.
John asked you some real questions about
real hard,
making money, and you were, come on, man.
Okay. Get the Ozempic. You told me about that.
I didn't tell you about Ozempic.
No, John told me about the Ozempic stock or whatever, the NovoDisc or whatever it was, John.
Yeah.
See?
Uh-huh.
Your guy just traded you out of that too fast.
No, I'm still in it.
Oh, are you?
But,
okay.
But here's the deal. I gave you a winner. You give me nothing. You are pathetic.
You know what? I probably shouldn't do this. Caleb Williams, first pick of the draft.
What? No.
Now, listen, it's minus 5,000, but I feel like that's a free 100.
This is, John was asking those questions. You might as well should have quoted one of our great philosophers.
I'm not saying it on your business anyway.
That's how you responded to all of his questions.
None of your business anyway.
None of your business anyway. What are we doing?
To give some winners. I mean,
you're trying to win some money here.
You do this all day long and you can't. I don't know how many are going to be in the first round. I don't know if a tackle from Oregon State is a.
He is. There is a tackle from Oregon State in the first round. Talisi Fuaga.
Well,
so please put some respect on his name.
A whole lot of coins flipping for you.
There is a lot of coins speaking right now. I don't know.
Could be a lot of receivers. Idaho.
May not be a lot of receivers. The coin hasn't spoken yet.
Wow.
Wow.
You owe us all an apology.
Quarterback? 4.5 quarterbacks? I don't know. Sounds like a good number to me.
Sounds like.
Oh, so there's going to be 4.5 quarterbacks drafted.
Great.
Okay.
I think it's a good number.
I think you almost have to pick one side or the other.
There is not a half a quarterback in this draft.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you
unless
have
you're
to
really
pick
down
one
on
side.
JJ McCarthy, maybe you think he's half a quarterback, but he doesn't. You can't classify him that, as
the
that.
Only
when you try
one
to
people
them.
Get down on JJ McCarthy, but the one that probably like the Spencer Rattler thing is way more public. I think it's.
That's
I think
ridiculous.
He'll go in the. I think he's got a chance going to third. I think he goes in the fourth.
Well, Dale, you keep on saying that Drake May is half a.
No, I've never said he's half a.
Half
well,
a quarterback?
That's your slander. I never called him half. I just don't think he's as good a quarterback as people think. And my agenda is thriving. Merrill Hodge, Lance Zierlein, they all think he's a little overrated, at least coming into the process. Maybe now people are settling on him, but I've never called him half.
I'm pretty sure I heard you say he's half.
No.
Half like a
you're
quarterback.
You're half a radio team.
I'm half. You're right.
Yeah.
Half.
I called you half all the time. Half of John and Lance.
I'm a third. Dell, you're part of this show.
No, okay? Just says John and Lance, so you're half a.
It's John, Lance, and Dell.
Not on the headline. I'm looking at it right now. It says John and Lance. So that would make you half a.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it. I knew you'd want to call me half a at some point.
Well, I've done it for years. Why stop now?
Let's get talk about Craig DeSerf. He ain't half a nothing.
No, he was a one-time bodybuilder. He did that for a while. Now he sells cars at an amazing rate, and the reason's simple. He didn't push people, ever. He just has great deals, and he lets the Chevys and the Buicks and the GMCs do the talking. Now, what separates him is that, yes, there's a certain selection that every dealership gets. They get a certain amount of cars, but Craig DeSerf will go out of his way that if there's a certain type of vehicle, an interior you want, he'll go get that for you. If there's something aftermarket you want to do, they will do that for you for your vehicle. And sometimes they even have dealer incentives where they can give you $1,000, $1,500 for aftermarket purchases for your vehicle as well. It's what separates Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is they never hassle you when you get to the dealership. It's not somebody running out of the door to come see you and within 3 minutes, like, what do we need to do to get you into this car? That's not the desperation. They simply want the cars to speak for themselves. They're there to answer questions for you, go get the keys to certain vehicles, let you know about the features that are there. But this is your car buying experience. You make the decision. You are the one who is deciding what is important to you. And whatever that is, they're going to work with you, whether it's price, whether it's lease. Instead of a purchase, maybe it's an APR rate. Maybe it's just, mileage for your lease. You want a certain amount of mileage on your lease, or you want low mileage so you can get the best price possible on a lease. There's so many different things that go into it. And Gulf Coast Chevy and Craig DeSerf are just there to answer the questions you have and to facilitate making you happy. They're out in Angleton. It's well worth the drive. I promise you that, because you're going to save thousands. It's LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance and Dell here with you. And matter of fact, we're going to have a special guest joining us at the top of the hour here. A little surprise guest going to be coming our way. Astros with the win last night. It was much needed. Now, you're going now to, you've got the Royals now. This is actually a little bit of a reprieve in this schedule because the Royals aren't not a great team. Although, they're the American League Central just sucks. So they're going to be in the hunt for most of the season. Then you've got Texas and the Braves when you're done with it. It eases up a little bit after that at Washington and the Cubs. Did you see the Cubs blew an 8-run lead against the Padres?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, they just suck. Colorado, Cleveland's a pretty good team, and then Seattle here where you can't win, so those are going to be really, really
good. I wouldn't know what it's like to have a shaky bullpen because my bullpen just got done shutting down the Rangers. So
yeah.
I can't feel your pain with a bullpen that doesn't keep the score where it is. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, your bullpen has been a little, but you're right. They're trending well.
Yep.
One game that they've trended well, but you're absolutely right about that. So this schedule to start now, Odell, a little more confidence that they can get to 10-10.
He's got to do something. He's recording something. I'll answer for him. No.
You don't?
No.
They're 4-7, going to Kansas City.
Right.
Then Texas and Atlanta after that. You don't think that they can finish
10-10? Where are they playing Texas?
Here. I mean, in Houston.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the Braves are in Houston, mm-hmm. which they couldn't beat them at home either.
If you told me every one of those games was on the road, yes, there's a shot.
Right. So they played 11 and they're 4-7.
Hey, this is
Kansas City. At Kansas City should be at least 2 out of 3.
A serious question here. We don't know on Fromber, right? There's been nothing other than they scratched him and it's not pain and yada, yada, yada. But this is all we have to hear is forearm tightness, elbow, this or that. And it's rarely good. it's rarely good. Okay, good news. 70% of the time, it's going to cause you to lose more than two starts. That's just a wild guess. Just feels like that. And a lot of times, it can be a lot worse than that. To hear Fromber got scratched, I mean, golly, I'm starting to feel like 2000 Astros again, where it's just bad luck stuff. It's you cannot survive with this many pitchers hurt. You can't. Urquidy is – have we heard anything new on Urquidy?
No. Urquidy, I'm not expecting him. Are you expecting Urquidy at all?
I'm not either, but have we – like, are we just saying that? Like, have we heard anything?
No, we're just not. We're just
– well, we need reports –
no.
What do you mean we just –
Garcia's going to come back, and well, McCullers is going to something. But no, Urquidy's done. That's all.
Uh-oh.
That's it. What you need – I mean, even still, Fromber, JV, okay. They're not even sure that Fromber's going to miss another start here. That he's not on the IL is a really good thing. But you got Javier, you got Brown, you got France, you got Blanco, and you got JV coming back. You're still really, really good. You have a much better pitching than a lot of teams who are healthy.
Really good. Like, hold on a second. Let's just put that in. Blanco's been terrific so far this year in a shorter sample size, without question. Christian Javier, you know, we'll see. When he's throwing strikes, he's good. There's nothing that really – you literally have no idea what you have with Hunter Brown. And I think J.P. France is solid, compete for a fifth starting role type guy. But I don't know that you're in great shape. You have – J.V.'s just coming back moderate time off, trying to get his arm right. And I don't know. I don't know that I feel just as confident that you're still a really good team right now. I frankly have more faith in the bullpen than I have in the starting pitching right now, even though obviously the numbers don't say that. But if you ask me, Abreu, Hader, and Presley, man, I don't know what's going on with Presley, but Abreu, Presley, and Hader, I actually have more confidence in those guys right now based on the injury stuff with the Astros than I think I do 1-2-3, which I guess is going to be Verlander, Fromber, and Christian Javier. I should feel much better about the starters, but we're dealing – but I need to see just a little more from Javier. And then Fromber, I'm worried. Like, so many arm stuff right now for this team.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk basketball. Don't you go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, we're talking about John Daspit, who loves basketball, too.
John Daspit is a big basketball fan, and sometimes I'll just randomly get a text. I know he's big right now with the Rockets. I saw him on the post in the halftime. His name was up there on the halftime sponsoring something. You see his name on the court. He is a personal injury lawyer. They specialize in anyone who's been badly injured through someone else's negligence. I mean, they do offshore accidents. They do refinery blasts. They are handling all the stuff with the issue when they had the Astroworld concert that went so terrible. John Daspit is representing many of the families and some with loss of life. And that's the real tragedy here, is that people have lost kids. You have situations where breadwinners in a family who a family's depending on has been killed in an accident at the workplace or out on the roadway or badly injured and can't work anymore. How do you handle that? Well, John Daspin and his lawyers will fight for you, and they fight to get you taken care of. Your bills are going to be paid. There's no way you're coming out of pocket. Your physical therapy, your surgeries, any time missed from work and issues like that. But also the pain and suffering of what you're going through. When it comes to loss of life, when it comes to losing someone in the family who is the breadwinner, that's a major trauma that you have to deal with. And John Daspit will fight for you and fight the insurance companies if they are trying to squeeze you. And he recognizes when they are, and that's why he will bully back when they try to bully you. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's a name you can trust. He's been doing this for years, and they are excellent with a high winning percentage. It's DaspitLaw.com, DaspitLaw.com, or call 713-CALL-NOW.
ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, you know how Black Friday sales are the best savings of the year? Well, what if we told you Wayfair's bringing Black Friday to July? That's right. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is Black Friday in July. And it's on its way. Starting July 24th, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, way more doorbuster deals on top products and 24-hour surprise flash deals. Oh, and did we mention free shipping on everything? Everything. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer and the best time to make your home even more you. But it only lasts 5 days, so don't miss out. Mark your calendars, then head to Wayfair for up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the summer. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale, July 24th through 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.